Please take note of our new ministry headquarters phone number, 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. We're switching our phone number because we want you to have the ability to not only leave a message, but to text us. In fact, the fastest way to get a response is to text us. Why? Because then we don't have to transcribe your message. You just simply text it to us and we can respond much quicker. Now, you can leave a voicemail at 901-825-0652. But if you want a fast response, please text us at 901-825-0652. Forgot your Situation Room membership password and can't get in? Text us your first name, your last name, the email address you signed up under. We'll look up your account, reset your password for you, send you back a text. If you have other issues, feel free to text us. But again, if you need to leave a voicemail, you can do that. Would you like to leave a tax-deductible contribution for the Worldview Weekend Foundation? You can leave a voicemail, 901-825-0652. 901-825-0652. But don't forget, you can also text us.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, glad you're with us. And we're going to be joined today as we finish up our third program on the Gospel Coalition is the Emergent Church Repackaged. And joining me today is Tom Littleton, and we have a lot of new material to cover. And of course, we could go for days on this, but we'll wrap this up today and move on to another topic tomorrow. But again, why is this important? Because many of us have been opposed to the emergent church, its mysticism, social justice, ecumenicalism, spiritual formation, unbiblical goal of building the kingdom of God on earth, its cynicism toward conservative Christians, and the fundamentals of the faith. That's the emergent church. And we were opposed to that with Brian McLaren and Tony Jones and Doug Padgett and Rob Bell and all those guys, right? Jim Wallace and so many others that were running in that camp. And we certainly were opposed to the what I call the communitarian church growth movement. You may know it better as the church growth movement. I called it the communitarian church growth movement in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, because it is built on the three-legged stool of communitarianism, Peter Drucker, who admits he's a communitarian. That is the mixture of socialism with capitalism, as we have studied. So we were all opposed to those movements. And what I came out this week and said is, hey, look, folks, we were opposed to those movements. And even there were some pastors and evangelical leaders opposed to those movements who now it seems as though are not aware of the facts, some of them, even though I think now some of them have been made aware of these facts, but don't seem to be separating from the Gospel Coalition. But the Gospel Coalition is nothing more, nothing less than the Emergent Church repackaged. And we showed you that Bob Buford, the businessman Bob Buford, went to communitarian Peter Drucker, who says he's not a Christian. We heard yesterday's audio clip saying, I'm not born again. He liked to read Soren Kierkegaard, who believed in subjective truth, applying subjective truth to the spiritual realm. We have a lot of other quotes by Drucker that show his mysticism. And yet Bob Buford, I would actually call Bob Buford in some ways, I believe, the George Soros of the evangelical world for a while. He's now passed away just a few months ago. But in many regards, I would describe Bob Buford as the George Soros of the evangelical world. And that's what I believe based on my research and studying this guy, whether it's what I presented in Religious Trojan Horse or what we've presented on radio and TV and have done this week. But Bob Buford, according to his own website and other websites and articles, even in secular publications, went to Drucker for advice before he started the Leadership Network in 1984. Brian McLaren told PBS that the Emergent Church was started by Bob Buford. It is the own research of groups, including Forbes magazine here in front of me, an article that we haven't read from yet, that it is Drucker and Buford that started the communitarian church growth movement, or the three-legged stool that is best known being represented by Rick Warren. But in fairness, Rick Warren didn't start this. Bill Hybels didn't start this. Tim Keller didn't start this. Bob Buford started this after going to Peter Drucker. Tim Keller, however, according to Christianity Today that we learned this week, does mention in an article by Ed Stetzer that Tim Keller was one of the people that Bob Buford sought to invest in. And now we know today that Tim Keller, who is the co-founder of the Gospel Coalition, continues this model. We also know, by way of review again, that it is Tim Keller that endorsed the book by Jim Belcher that is calling for a third way between emergent and evangelicalism, emergent and traditional. So again, the evidence is overwhelming that the Gospel Coalition is nothing more than the repackaging of the emergent church. Now again, why do you care? Why should we care? Because Alexa.com, which ranks website, at one time had it ranked at the 18th most visited website, Christian website in America. Now, if you don't agree with the emergent church and mysticism and extra-biblical revelation and undermining the mission and purpose of the church and social justice churches, then you should care. Because even some of the biggest names in evangelicalism apparently now have been deceived, who once opposed the emergent church and the church growth movement, but now they openly work with and promote the Gospel Coalition, even though it is nothing less than the repackaging of the emergent church and the church growth movement. That's why it counts. It also shows us the process, I believe, that Satan goes to mix opposites and mix things and to camouflage things, and so we end up being fooled. And so joining me now is to talk about this is Tom Littleton with, again, some new audio clips today as well as some new articles, including Forbes magazine on all this. Tom, welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Brandon. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you for making time for us. I know you're very busy with a lot going on in your own life, with your own endeavors. Tom, I went on the air Monday and then yesterday, and I have said point blank that the Gospel Coalition is nothing more, nothing less than the repackaging of the emergent church and the communitarian church growth movement. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I absolutely would agree. And I think all you have to do is look at some of the key players who were involved in both the Emergent Church and in the Gospel Coalition, like for Keller, for instance, being one of the founders, and then also looking at Ed Stetzer, who had a big influence at Lifeway and through Lifeway Research to the Southern Baptists and the broader evangelical community. And Mark Driscoll, who was a founding member and was eventually kicked out when some of his own plagiarism and character flaws were revealed. But he was one of the key players, especially across the age divide to younger guys. Buford helped him begin the Acts 29 network, which is still part of the work of the Gospel Coalition today, focusing on church planting. So they have a big footprint across the board in the church, and it is definitely emergent in its roots.
And when I came out the other day and said I believe the Gospel Coalition is the emergent church repackaged, you know, that may have shocked some people. But that's my opinion based on my own research. I'm not aware of anyone else coming around and saying this, but maybe more people haven't studied the emergent church or the roots and the foundations of the Gospel Coalition to say that. But why do you think other people are not saying this?
Well, for a long time, people have hitched their wagons, so to speak, to the Gospel Coalition simply because it was theologically reformed. It was seen as a theological movement. But I think as we've seen the manifestation of some of their heretical teachings, especially of late over critical theory, social justice, LGBT, those kind of things, people are beginning to question, but they're feeling a little duped because they took this as a theological movement when, in fact, it is the emergent movement, which is highly political. It's designed to move the church left, move it toward Peter Drucker's new paradigm church, toward this communitarian. You know, Drucker said that what he liked in the church was that it created community. And being able to capture and harness the energy of the church, that latent energy of the church, is what Bob Buford said he was out to do with Leadership Network. So what they saw in the church, if they could move it through the emergent movement away from its conservative theological and doctrinal moorings, that they could harness this energy and pull it into their communitarian model. And that's exactly what they've been doing. Little noticed by many people who had joined in, who may have seen some of these influences, but had thought it was primarily a theological movement. Of course, Drucker and Buford said that their work had no interest in theology, that doctrine and theology does not matter. That's why they're able to have their footprint, you know, in the Hybels, you know, seeker-friendly model, Warren model, PCA church like Tim Keller's, because they're moving independent of doctrine. And, of course, most of their younger followers have that same view that doctrine is secondary, theology shouldn't be something that divides us. So we have to find unity and common ground for the common good. So this is all the mantra.
In fact, in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, I quote one of them. I don't know if it was Drucker or Buford, but I quote one of them saying, this is not about theology.
Yeah.
So they said that. And that's so key what you said, that they're trying to move with the emergent, what they were able to do with the emergent spiritualism was to move churches away from foundational doctrinal mooring of what is the mission and purpose of the church, which we know the mission and purpose of the church is not to build the kingdom of God on earth. We know that it is not to redistribute the wealth of the New Testament church members to the unsaved poor. To come to that, as Tim Keller says, we owe the poor as much as we can give them, is to twist scripture, dealing mostly with spiritual poverty. Certainly we're to care for the poor inside the context of the New Testament church, but to drive the church away from its purpose and mission and function and purpose of its leaders, they had to move it off biblical doctrine. The emergent church was that process to do that. Once they moved them away from doctrine, then they were open to sweep them into their non-theological communist communitarianism. And communitarianism by Henry Lamb, who now has gone on to passed away, Henry Lamb, who wrote much on communitarianism. Henry Lamb openly wrote that communitarianism is communism light. So how do you get churches to follow that, or pastors or evangelical folks to follow that, unless, Tom, you move them off of what is the mission and purpose of the church in biblical theology?
You weaken the view of Scripture. You weaken the importance of sound theological influence, and you push whatever the pragmatism of whatever makes the church grow. That's why the church growth movement in itself has been so illegitimate for the church to embrace, because it's made the bottom line all about the numbers and the apparent, you know, success. I mean, the success measures by which Jesus himself would have been a failure in his ministry, but we've embraced a corporate model that gives these metrics and measures that basically feed the pride and egos of these pastors, and then they become megastars. And with a media machine like the Gospel Coalition, Christianity Today, and other publishers under the sway of this, then they were able to do this all in-house and push the people that they wanted to, push the message they wanted to. You may want to talk about it more with the work of Keller and Ed Stetzer as they began to push mission shift with emergents like Dan Kimball and Brian McLaren. They were able to redefine not only the gospel and to social justice, but how we go about doing missions and to gear it towards church planting and toward the communitarian model with those plants.
And yesterday I talked about the Missional Manifesto, and I talked about Dan Kimball's book Emergent and all the people that endorsed that. But this, if you can look it up online, folks, Missional Manifesto, written in 2010 to 2011, and it includes Ed Stetzer, Tim Keller, Dan Kimball, J.D. Greer, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. So, you're tracking with us because you're now hitting on some of the stuff we brought up yesterday, and I don't think you heard yesterday's show, so you're bringing up stuff you didn't even know we talked about.
Right, right. And 2010 is when a lot of this effort really began in earnest to shift, as they call it, mission shift, which is part of that manifesto, that the church was going to be irrelevant if we didn't pursue this fresh paradigm. And, of course, when you see someone, a conservative PCA guy like Tim Keller, at least as people perceived him to be, working with guys like Brian McLaren, Dan Kimball, others, you have to start wondering what in the world is going on here. What common mission could we share with people who are getting soft on hell, soft on creation, soft on moral issues and social issues within the church and the church's impact in the culture? And, of course, they've been able to push what is really postmodernism, postmodern Christianity is what, if people want to understand emergent, it's postmodern Christianity that sees critical theory essentially as the gospel.
And Brian McLaren admits that. Brian McLaren admits that's what the emergent church was all about in his article, in his interview with PBS, we've quoted. We'll be right back with more, including some audio clips. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank all of you that have supported our Worldview Weekend broadcast ministry throughout 2018 thus far. Now, we're getting ready to go into the summer months, and generally that's a time of the year when our donations drop. And so I want to just ask you, would you consider being, if you're not already, a monthly contributor to the Worldview Weekend? We sure appreciate those of you that give a couple times a year or even at the end of the year as your budget allows. But we're needing more monthly donors, monthly supporters, so we can meet our monthly obligations each and every year as we continue to expand our Worldview Weekend broadcast network ministry. You can donate online at wvwfoundation.com. We are a tax-deductible 501c3 organization, so it is tax-deductible. Again, you can give online at wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Again, that's P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, which is spelled C-O-L-L-I-E-R-V-I-L-L-E, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. If you prefer to give by phone, you can leave it on our voicemail at 901-853-8792. That's 901-853-8792. All of this information is available on our website at wvwfoundation.com. Thank you so much for your ongoing and faithful support as together we partner and proclaim and defend a biblical worldview.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Lesson 3 and 4 from Sunday night's Grave Influence class, Worldview class, are now in the Situation Room under the Library tab. No, just look under TV. Just look under TV. And then you'll see the Grave Influence class 1, 2, 3, and 4. Class 4 went up there last night. So you'll find that under the Situation Room. Now, you can watch the class live on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. This Sunday night, we move into talking about Friedrich Nietzsche, one of the two founders of postmodern thought, at 8 p.m. Central Time. If you'd like to join us, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/worldviewweekend. We live stream it there, among other places, but facebook.com/worldviewweekend. We also live stream it at wvwtv.com/briefing. wvwtv.com/briefing. You can follow us and watch it through live stream by just going to livestream.com/wvwtv. Again, livestream.com/wvwtv. I know some of you watch the Situation Room briefing on Sunday nights on Roku through the Roku channel of live stream. Their Roku channel, we let them carry it through that. So we have a lot of outlets, and we're having 4,000 to 5,000 people that are taking this class live on Sunday nights. And if you'd like to join us, those are the outlets. Perhaps the easiest thing to do is just join our text alert system, and you'll get a reminder and a link to watch. And you can just text WVW to 88202. Again, you just text WVW to 88202, and about 10 minutes before we start, we send out a text alert with a link to watch and a reminder. So this Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, we will do Lesson 5, Lord willing, and talk about Friedrich Nietzsche. Speaking of Nietzsche, one of the founders of postmodern thought, Tom Littleton is my guest, but speaking about postmodernism, one of the founders of that is Nietzsche. Brian McLaren, one of the leaders of the Emergent Church, admitted to PBS, as I've said, July 15, 2005 article, Brian McLaren extended interview, again, July 15, 2005, admits that the Emergent Church was started by Bob Buford. He talks about an individual in Texas and Leadership Network. That's Bob Buford. He started Leadership Network after consulting with Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker was into a lot of this mysticism. As I document in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, in his book, Landmarks of Tomorrow, Drucker said, quote, "Society needs a return to spiritual values, not to offset the material, but to make it fully productive. Mankind needs the return to spiritual values, for it needs compassion. It needs the deep experience that the thou and the I are one. which all higher religions share, end quote. Folks, that's Peter Drucker. Now, there's a lot more I could say about Peter Drucker and the mystics and the mysticism he followed, and that of Soren Kierkegaard, who he learned to read Danish so he could read Kierkegaard's untranslated works. And yet we also saw in our worldview class Sunday night that Kierkegaard believed in subjective truth applied to Christianity, whereas Kierkegaard applied it to the spiritual realm, Nietzsche applied it to the secular realm. But notice what Drucker said. The thou and the I are one. The thou and the I are one, which all higher religions share. Folks, that's pantheism or panentheism. That's New Age. So again, does that not show you the influence of, I think, Drucker on Buford, and then the things Buford went on to write in his best-selling book, Halftime, and the people he endorsed, and who, Jim Collins, who wrote the foreword to Buford's book? That's a whole other radio show right there, who Jim Collins is and what he's written and done in this area of spirituality. So it helps us understand what they're doing. So Drucker, Brian McLaren admits that the emergent church was moving in the postmodern world realm. Well, coming from Forbes magazine, article dated April 14th, 2014, called Peter Drucker and Me, this is a Forbes magazine article, it says these Druckerian memories have surfaced thanks to the delightful Drucker and Me book by Bob Buford. It's a 2004 book called Drucker and Me. A book by Bob Buford, a cable TV magnate turned philanthropist. Buford inherited his small family business in Tyler, Texas, after his mother died in a fire. By his early 40s, Buford felt overwhelmed. He reached out to Drucker for help. Drucker granted it. Before the initial visit, Drucker told Buford to write a long letter about what he wanted to accomplish. Buford soon learned that Drucker had no interest in talking about finance or operations. He wanted to hear all about Buford, his life, his dreams, his hopes. Drucker patiently drew from Buford what he called his quest for significance. Buford listened to Drucker. During the next 12 years, his cable company grew more than 20% a year and expanded beyond Texas. By his mid-50s, Buford was more financially successful than he had ever dreamed he'd be. Folks, he's now under the discipleship of Drucker, it sounds like, for 12 years just to this point. Drucker developed a theory. He said, this is again Forbes magazine. He believed that a vigorous nonprofit sector of churches, libraries, and organizations such as the Salvation Army could do more than lift up human beings. They could also be buffers between private interests and public governance. So Drucker and Buford continued to meet. Drucker's questions helped Buford define his quest for significance. Buford, a Christian, created an organization called the Leadership Network, under the auspices of which builders of new churches could learn about entrepreneurship and management. Drucker agreed to help. Thus did Drucker play a role in the megachurch boom of the 1980s and beyond. One early member in the Leadership Network was Bill Hybels, who had started Willow Creek Community Church in suburban Chicago by going door to door and asking people what they liked and didn't like in a church. Rick Warren, founder of the 20,000-plus member Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, had also sought out Buford and Drucker. In 2004, Warren invited me to visit Drucker with him, the man writing this article. So again, Drucker was at this with Bob Buford long before Rick Warren got involved. So again, Buford is kind of the George Soros of the evangelical world in a lot of ways when it comes to turning churches into little Marxist churches. And that's why I believe, again, the Gospel Coalition, with its connection to all these guys and philosophies and ideas and emergent stuff and three-legged stool garbage, and its connection to the founder, Tim Keller, who Ed Stetzer admits was one of Bob Buford's guys that he wanted to invest in. These guys, again, the Gospel Coalition is the emergent church repackaged. And yet, again, major evangelicals work with them, speak for them, speak with them, bring them to their churches and church platforms and conferences, and I don't understand why, but again, shows you what I warned you about in the book Religious Trojan Horse, Grave Influence and the Coming Religious Reich, and now the new book this fall, Marxianity. Would you agree that really what these folks are planting are little Marxist churches? It's a neo-Marxism, it's a cultural neo-Marxism, it's a communitarianism, which again, the late conservative Henry Lamb described communitarianism as communism light, but nonetheless, these are little neo-Marxist churches they're planting, or what I call Marxianity. Would you agree or disagree with that statement, Tom?
Yes, I would agree. And this was Drucker's vision when he really first understood, him coming from Austria, he had not seen a robust church impacting the community with a gospel. He had never seen churches on the size of these larger churches in America. So he observed something, and being the guy that he was and his influence on big business and on government, he saw one avenue that was left out and they had been looking for the three-legged stool, which was the community, the communitarian side of it, the nonprofit sector, which in his plan, the church becomes nothing more than a delivery system for this communitarian vision of social services, welfare, social justice, and that the church is essentially a contractor for the government, and using government and its own resources and corporate funds can then be this vehicle for justice. The problem with Drucker is that he was working behind the scenes for the most part, because Leadership Network was invitation only. If they didn't want you and they didn't pick you, it's likely you knew nothing about it or very little about it. So by 1986, they have, I think, their second class, which is in the picture of which is in Drucker and Me book. And there's Hybels and a lot of the guys from Christianity Today, and Randy Pope, who's a popular PCA guy. Soon following that, we had Keller, Stetzer, and others jumping in, and these guys became disciples at invitation only, directly of Drucker and of Buford's influence. And what they envisioned for the church was a paradigm shift to begin to create this vision, as you say, this Marxist vision, as the core of this church building, church planting, church growth model. And the even the multi-site churches that we see today, they're all stemming from and even resourced by Buford and Leadership Network with the same ideology. Buford also had not just Drucker's vision to bring, but he had a lot of money to bring to this. Not just he, but some of his billionaire friends. I think that's why you likening him to the George Soros of the evangelical community is very appropriate, because he brought a lot of money to the table. A lot of these megachurches were in part built by the money that they brought in. This includes the network of churches and plants that Acts 29, that that Redeemer City Church in Tim Keller's in New York, even the influence on the current SBC president, J.D. Greer, with his Summit Church plants. So they had a model and a template to work off of, all to reinforce this goal, this vision of Drucker's, and to create a church that would model this, promote it, and bring the church into it.
Well, here is something that, again, comes from the book I wrote a few years ago, Religious Trojan Horse. I talk about the Leadership Network, and right on their own website, I found this quote. Quote, the mission of the Leadership Network is to accelerate the emergence of the 21st century church. This new paradigm is not centered in theology, but rather it is focused on structure, organization, and the transition from an institutionally based church to a mission-driven church. So there's that comment. Again, this is in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, where they said, openly admitted Leadership Network, it is not about theology. But notice they also said it's about the emergence of a 21st church. This is where you get the term emergent church. This is why it's called emergent church. Now, Buford helped start it. Brian McLaren said he is the source. So again, folks, I would like to know, why are major evangelical leaders fooling around with the emergent church repackaged with a neo-Calvinist wrapping, and it's known as the Gospel Coalition? I think the answer partly, Tom, is because the Gospel Coalition has a big reach. At one time, again, they were reported to be the 18th most visited Christian website. So if you work with these guys, you're working with guys that have a very powerful PR machine, which helps your popularity and your book sales. The other thing is, because it has this neo-Calvinist bent, any guys that seem to be kind of in love with extreme Calvinism, they're not going to be really looking much beyond that. It's kind of like a magician or a raccoon getting a hold of a shiny object. The shiny object is the extreme Calvinism. They're not paying attention to the trap, because they're too busy paying attention to the shiny object, and so the raccoon goes into the cage to get the shiny object and is caught. And I think some of these guys, for them, the shiny wrapping and the shiny object was the extreme Calvinism, and they never looked beyond the shiny toy or trinket
or the pretty shiny wrapping, and now they've been trapped. And some of them should be flat out embarrassed. Tom?
Yeah, I would agree. And they need to reassess where they are and find their way out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot more, including some clips I want to play when we come back. One of the guys that was part of the, for years and years, the Reformed Theological Seminary, we've talked about preaching at John Piper's church, who's on the Council of the Gospel Coalition. I want to play a couple audio clips because, again, it shows you the unbiblical, I believe, social justice or even Marxianity churches they're trying to plant. And then we'll get ready to open the phone lines up for your comments or your questions from my guest, Tom Littleton.
I don't know if you've seen the very sobering report that came out July 13th, 2018, by the director of the National Intelligence Agency, Dan Coats. But let me tell you something. I have followed the career of Dan Coats for a long time. And when the director of National Intelligence comes out and warns that America is under devastating cyber attacks right now, and that all the lights are blinking red for a potential 9/11 cyber attack, you better pay attention. In fact, CBS reports, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats warned of an impending, potentially devastating cyber attack on U.S. systems, saying the country's digital infrastructure, quote, is literally under attack, end quote, and warning that among state actors, Russia is the, quote, worst offender, end quote. Speaking at a scheduled event, writes CBS News, he adopted the language of former director of the CIA, George Tenet, who in the months ahead of the 9/11 attacks, warned that the, quote, system was blinking red, end quote. Dan Coats, citing daily attacks from Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, said, quote, here we are, nearly two decades later, and I'm here to say the warning lights are blinking red again, end quote. Well, my friends, we've been warning you about this for a long time. And if you have not taken the precautions that my family took many years ago, then I would suggest you do that. Now, you can go get these resources anywhere you want. But last year, we set up a special website, esdepot.com, esdepot.com, where we've put a lot of emergency gear for you. Reasonable, practical, common sense emergency gear. You'll also find it in our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore. wvwtv.com/bookstore, or a website that we built that has more information on it and more resources you can order, esdepot.com. Stands for Emergency Supplies Depot.com. esdepot.com. You can get all kinds of information there. You can get freeze-dried food that we are a distributor of for Mountain House. It's been around since 1969. Again, you can get this material and these vital resources anywhere. But when you purchase them through us, you're helping support our broadcast organization and ministry. Folks, we don't have time to lead tours to Israel, lead cruises, lead trips. A lot of ministries and organizations do that to generate extra revenue to support their general operating budget. We don't have time for that. But we have built a website, esdepot.com, that we believe has the resources you need. So I believe you're not only helping your family, you're also supporting this broadcast ministry. And we urge you to tell your friends about the website, esdepot.com.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. A lot of brand new material and TV shows over at wvwtv.com. And again, for Situation Room members that are emailing and asking, the class from Sunday night, that 1 hour, is now in the Situation Room. It's available for everybody to watch live, but after that, it does roll into the Situation Room, and it is under the TV tab, all four lessons. We also have in there all of the 15 keynote presentations from our Ozarks Worldview Weekend. If you ordered that on a thumb drive, those went out. Those went out this week, so you should be looking for that. All 15 one-hour keynote presentations from the Ozarks, those are now in the mail. And if you would like to order the thumb drive, you can do that at wvwtv.com/bookstore. Now, if you're a Situation Room member, they're all in there for you, so you can join the Situation Room and have, you know, access to all of that and a lot more at situationroom.net. But if you just want the 15 one-hour keynote presentations, including the 90-minute panels, nearly 90-minute two panels we did, all 15 of those are on a thumb drive at wvwtv.com/bookstore. My guest is Tom Littleton, and he also writes for our website. And Tom, I'm looking at an article here from a website that is talking about, let's see if I can figure out who wrote this, Elliot Nesch. Sounds like the police officer, but I don't think so. In an article in the Criswell Theological Review written by formerly emergent Mark Driscoll, co-founder and preaching pastor of Mars Hill in Seattle, Mark recalls the initiation of the emerging church movement, which was launched by an organization called Leadership Network. Quote, in the mid-1990s, I was a young church planner trying to establish a church in the city of Seattle when I got a call to speak at my first conference. It was hosted by Leadership Network and focused on the subject of Generation X. Out of that conference, a small team was formed to continue conversing about postmodernism. By the time Leadership Network hired Doug Padgett, that's one of the leadership, one of the emergent church leaders, By the time Leadership Network hired Doug Padgett to lead the team and organize the events, he began growing the team, and it soon included Brian McLaren. Padgett, McLaren, and others such as Chris Say, Tony Jones, Dan Kimball, and Andrew Jones stayed together and continued speaking and writing together as friends. McLaren, a very gifted writer, rose to team leader in part because he had established a family and church, which allowed him to devote a lot of time to the team. The team eventually morphed into what is now known as Emergent. And, of course, he was a major, major player in the Gospel Coalition. And I'm reading an article on his website where the Gospel Coalition's website where he said he voluntarily stepped down. Well, Brian McLaren was all known about the Emergent Church, and so was Mark Driscoll. And yet Driscoll was heavily involved in the Gospel Coalition. So again, there should have been. Just for the fact that your co-founder is Tim Keller, ought to tell any pastor or evangelical leader stay away from these guys, but they don't. So the question is this, Tom, these guys are not the only ones doing this. There are other names and other books being written to do this. And as I brought out in one of the TV shows the other day, I did some research thinking, well, there must be a lot of money in this, because you know the old saying, follow the money. So I started researching and I thought, I wonder how much money is in churches involved in social work. So I just typed into a search engine, churches, the money that churches can make being involved in social work. When I typed that in, up popped an article from The Economist magazine on the Catholic Church that stated, and we provided the screenshots and everything in the TV show, one of the Marxianity TV shows at WVWTV.com. I provided the screenshot from The Economist magazine that stated that Catholic charities, 62% of their income, 62% of their revenue, 62% of their donations, if you will, are money coming into their charities. And it wouldn't necessarily be donations, but 62% of the money coming into the Catholic charities in America comes from local, state, or federal government. Well, again, I just stumbled on that by just, again, doing what I often do, which is putting stuff into search engines and seeing what articles I can find, because I thought there must be a lot of money, and I just, again, typed in, churches can make lots of money on social services. And there popped up this article from The Economist magazine. So the Catholic Church, I think, is the model for this, which is very interesting since it's social justice. Luigi Tapparinelli, the Jesuit Luigi Tapparinelli, who in 1840 coined that phrase 8 years ahead of Karl Marx. So I think that there's a lot of money in this. Who else is writing books telling churches they need to do the three-legged stool of Tim Keller, Rick Warren, Bob Buford, Peter Drucker? And again, the real genesis of this is Drucker and Buford. Who else is writing books on this?
Well, there's Eric Swanson is one of the Leadership Network guys. If you really want to see the model from the top down, his book To Transform a City, he actually works for Leadership Network, and he outlines how they form a coalition of these different churches, denominational organizations, associations, and other nonprofits to pull together within the city this communitarian model where they're going to do community transformation, economic development, and of course that actually sets them up in the template to get these large amounts of money. With Tim Keller, he has a partner who works for him, with him, Mac Peer. He wrote a book called Consequential Leadership, which is a collection of essays about 15 leaders fighting for our cities, our poor, our youth, and our culture. And this is the model that the same Drucker model that Redeemer City to City is using. Tim Keller left his church in July of last year and has gone full-time to work on global church planting. He's already done about 500 church plants. Buford was very involved in those, all on this model But the whole city-to-city idea is pushing Drucker's ideology. We see it here in Atlanta near us with a guy named Chip Sweeney who works for a Drucker disciple, Randy Pope, who's PCA. It's called A New Kind of Big. And if you go through, these books are all eerily similar. They're all eerily similar to The Flushing Out of Purpose-Driven Life. There's not a lot of new thoughts here. These guys are credited with being thought leaders, but they're not. They're really following a template. But if your church and your pastor, for the listeners, if they're talking about community transformation, if they're talking about opening up a community services within the church or in outreaches of the church, if they're beginning to move toward this model of even included in economic development, working with the Chamber of Commerce and other entities, the economic development of the community, working with politicians, working with business leaders, then they're on this model. They're doing it. And they may just be launching because a lot of churches have failed and kind of relaunch, or they've debated this for a long time. But the faith-based partnerships brought a ton of money into it and really engaged a lot of people in a huge way, and that was all under Obama.
Mm-hmm. And when you have some guys saying, well, let's go start ourselves a church, and then you see all the ability to bring in all this money through all these different faith-based initiatives and the public-private partnerships, then you're talking about a lot of money, and now you can get yourself a big salary basically running a nonprofit posing as a church. And these guys can make pretty big salaries as, quote, pastors doing this in these, quote, churches, right?
Yeah, and that's sad because, you know, you unlock a room and you just start stacking money in it, and then you invite all comers. I mean, what do you think you're going to get? and I have to say it as a minister, you know, a lot of young guys are so ego-driven and ambitious that if they're going to have somebody willing to pay their way and promote them on this level, make them the next big thing, as long as they're innovative and edgy, emergent enough to find popularity, then that's all they need. And it's hard for young guys to resist the temptation of this. And then older guys who are looking to be promoted, to legacy build, or just plain people who see the money and see opportunity and they're ready to seize it. This kind of operation draws out the worst in people, and it draws the worst of people, in my opinion, and in my experience as well.
In your experience, what's that?
Well, there was healthcare is a big area of this. Here in Birmingham, we had a healthcare nonprofit open that got $29 million over 7 years. $14.5 million of that went into the guy's pocket. And this was hosted in a church. That church eventually sold its property to this inner city health clinic. It's called Birmingham Healthcare Inc. And the indicted head of that was put on trial, and I forget how many years, but it was pretty serious. After $14 million fraud, he went to prison, and of course, the money's long gone. But the churches who were involved all stood back, just I guess waiting for the indictments to come down. But I don't recall that any pastors were indicted because they don't want to hurt this model. But that's part of it, you know, that they can bring even health care right inside the doors of the churches. This one didn't end well, and it's not the only story like this.
And of course, I would guess that some of the prosecutors that are running for office, if they're elected, don't want to be seen, quote, persecuting, in quote, some pastor by prosecuting them. But that doesn't mean that people that were involved in this shouldn't have been prosecuted, or am I overreaching?
Well, I think some of them were, you know, there's several ways to deflect the interest. Of course, people who have political ambitions who may be in the DA's office, they don't want to be seen as persecuting the church. They don't want to hinder this bigger model because they're still trying to sell it to the church as a whole. So if you vilify too much the churches and the pastors involved, that's going to be, a negative impact on selling the vision. And the government is involved in selling this vision. So the problem then becomes who is accountable and to whom. From the Obama administration, there was very little accountability for all the money that was spent. And because it's infused into the budgets of every federal agency who then has their own faith-based department, who then disperses this money at will, there's no way from the top down to see where the money went. You can see if you're on the receiving end, some ministry in your church or whatever, that, you know, while they've gotten federal money or state money or a combination of both or matched grants in order to get this program going. But that's happening on a large scale, and there's very little accountability, and most of the people in the churches don't even know it to try to hold their leaders accountable for it. It's just happening, you know, under the table, so to speak, or behind the scenes. And that's really the whole leadership network model, isn't it? I mean, by the time Drucker and me came out, they had bragging about what they had done in the evangelical church. This thing had been going for 30 years. So people had no idea that this members-only, invitation-only movement was recruiting their pastors into this communitarian model. And just like today, very few church members know that their pastors have taken their church in with them, you know, with the pastor and the staff, and to become part of the Gospel Coalition. This is being done behind the scenes on the down low. And so if the problem, you know, surfaces, then people are really trying to start from scratch to even understand where all this stuff came from.
Absolutely. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. What are your thoughts, your comments, your questions on this? While we go to break, listen to this guy, Steve Childers, who was at Reformed Theological Seminary teaching this kind of stuff for years and promoting Tim Keller. And this was him preaching at John Piper's church. John Piper, one of the council members of the Gospel Coalition, showing you the unbiblical model and their plan for the church.
You know, I work with
let me plug it in-house. Here we go. Here we go.
Church planters and have
let me back it up. Hang on. Here we go.
You know, I work with a lot of church planters and have for many years. If I know one well enough and we built a relationship where I can have this kind of trust and discourse, I like to say to them, tell me your vision for ministry. And I often get a response, well, wait till I email you this. Here's my proposal, my vision, my mission, my goals, my strength. Whoa, look at this. Hey, pretty impressive, huh? And if I built a relationship, I say, no, I didn't ask you about your vision for a great church. I ask you, what's your vision for a great city?
And then he goes on in the clips we have to talk about bringing down crime and making the invisible kingdom visible and social justice and cultural renewal is the job of the church. No, it's not. And would you be shocked this guy's endorsed by Tim Keller? 1-800-347-9829. He was teaching at John Piper's church, one of the council members of the Gospel Coalition. 1-800-347-9829.
The Ozarks 2018 Worldview Weekend keynote presentations are now being added to the Situation Room. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we had a great Ozarks Worldview Weekend 2018, and we filmed 16 presentations that included two 90-minute panel discussions with the speakers. We have now post-edited some of those keynote presentations, and they're now waiting for you to watch inside the Situation Room as a member under the Library tab, and then look for DVDs. Now, we've already got some post-edited. They've been added to the Situation Room, and throughout the month of June, we will finish post-editing the balance. By the way, we filmed these keynote presentations with four cameras. One of them was a swinging boom camera. So what I'm telling you is, these are broadcast quality, like national network broadcast quality in HD. But not only do you get all of the Worldview Weekend presentations from our Ozarks Conference from 2018, you get all the Worldview Weekend presentations from years gone by, going all the way back to 2004. You get $145,000 access to $145,000 in ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts, Bible software, TV shows, radio shows, and conference DVDs. SituationRoom.net. You can join for just $9.99 a month, $99 a year, $149 for 2 years, or save $100 and join for 3 years for just $199. Again, SituationRoom.net. This is where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. And again, when you're a member of the Situation Room, you're also a member of WorldviewPedia.com, our powerful biblical online worldview software, that we're adding to each and every month. You can check it out, even test drive it right now, worldviewpedia.com. So why not join the Situation Room if you're not a member right now and support the continuation of this biblical radio and television ministry? WVW Broadcast Network is a listener-supported ministry. We rely on you either contributing to the Worldview Weekend Foundation with a tax-deductible contribution and or being a member of the Situation Room at situationroom.net. Black Lives Matter has had $100 million contributed to them. Many liberal groups have all kinds of liberal multi-million dollar foundations underwriting them. We just have you. Those that contribute to our Worldview Weekend Foundation and those of you that are members of the Situation Room. We are a listener-supported broadcast ministry. And if you're not a member of the Situation Room, would you please join right now? Situationroom.net. And just go to the bottom of the page and click the join button. Situationroom.net, where members understand the times through a biblical worldview.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Are you worried about this? Do you see it, folks? Have we, the last 3 days in this series, explained to you and shown you that we haven't been whistling Dixie here? Yes, the South, so they whistle Dixie down here. Didn't you know? And sometimes they whistle Dixie through a graveyard. Mm-hmm. Yep, saw a guy doing that the other day. Actually, I didn't. But they talk about whistling Dixie through a graveyard, and I don't know who would do that. But nonetheless, it's a phrase, and we're not just whistling Dixie. This has really happened. We told you thesis and antithesis, and it merges, and it becomes a new thesis, and this is how things are disguised and deceived, and change agents enter in, and they bring a lot of money, and they bring this Marxianity, this communism light, and they deceive people, and big name pastors, and evangelical leaders, and organizations, and networks jump on board, and yet here we are being called names, and we're conspiracy theorists, and over the top, and that couldn't possibly happen. I think we just spent 3 days showing you it does happen, and it can fool some of the best and the brightest, and that's why I wrote the book Religious Trojan Horse, to warn people. It's a Trojan horse. It's what Paul says in Acts 20, beware those men who've risen from within. Well, what are your thoughts about what you've heard? It's only going to get worse because we're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars that these so-called churches with these young guys can make. Let's go to West Virginia, line one. Margaret, thanks for calling in, Margaret. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I was just curious, this Reformed Theological Seminary that you have mentioned several times, does this have anything to do with Ligonier Ministries out of Florida, Sanford, Florida? We have in the past contributed to that, my husband and I, but if this has anything to do with all of this stuff you've been talking about, I don't want my money going there.
Well, I'm holding – well, you're really, really sharp, Margaret, from West Virginia. I have a document in front of me from the Reformed Theological Seminary out of Orlando, city to city, where they praise Tim Keller and Ron Sider and are calling for the three-legged stool. In my TV show on this last week at WVWTV.com, I provide all the screenshots, Margaret, so you don't have to take my word for it. I show you the screenshots of their actual report where they're calling for the three-legged stool, and this is Reformed Theological Seminary, city to city with Tim Keller. And by the way, Margaret, they have opened as of 2014 a seminary with Tim Keller in New York and put out a press release boasting about it being part of the city to city report model with Tim Keller, with Lincoln Duncan. So, yes, it's the same, Margaret, sad to say.
Okay, I know it is in Orlando, or I wasn't sure of Orlando or Sanford, if that which one it was. Thank you so much. I don't have a capability of getting a lot of the things that you are putting out because I don't have a computer. But I do appreciate your program. I listen every day on WVIW, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Margaret. Would you like to make any comment before we go back to the phone lines, Tom?
Well, yeah, I think the seminaries are a place that everybody has to be looking And people do have to be considering where they put their funding, because if they're wanting their tithes and offerings to contribute to building the kingdom, they have to distinguish what where they're going to send their money, and find people who aren't doing this model, because otherwise it's just going to be pulled into this communitarianism and really wasted on a vision that isn't promoting the gospel. The two can't be done together.
1-800-347-9829, a line open. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to line two. Marie is calling in, line two. Marie, thank you for calling in. Go right ahead.
You're quite welcome. I just want to say thank you for the information that you're putting out. And this isn't the first time I've heard this information from you. I ran across VCY Radio probably 10 years ago, and I started listening to your program. I ordered your book, The Trojan Horse, and I read that. So I had some idea of Tim Keller and this type of thing. And we were in a very lovely church. We were very happy there. And about 7 years ago, I started noticing in the budget, they were budgeting money to go to the Gospel Coalition's conferences. And then I kept hearing Tim Keller mentioned in several sermons and quoted, and they had one of his studies, and I started to get a little nervous about the whole thing. And prayed about it, and God has sent us now to a very real New Testament Bible church, and I just keep on getting the information out there because people need to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you so much for that. Sounds like someone else's phone was ringing over the back in the background on that. Thank you, Marie. You know, this report here, and again, Marie, that was very kind of you. Thank you. This report here called Missional Manifesto, I mean, you can find this online, written in 2010 to 2011. And again, they talk about, and again, it's written by J.D. Greer, who's now president of Southern Baptist Convention, Tim Keller, Ed Stetzer, Dan Kimball, all these guys that were part of the emergent church, particularly Dan Kimball. But they openly talk about the kingdom. They are totally confused on the kingdom, so they have a wrong theology when it comes to kingdom. But they go on to talk about other kind of things that clearly show what their mission and purpose is, and it's very disturbing. So this is not hearsay. This is very documented. Let's go to Cheyenne from Hillsboro. Cheyenne, thank you for calling in. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, the lady that called in about Ligonier possibly being connected with RTS, I guess you never answered the question.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I think it is, but I'm not a PCA guy, so I don't know that. But I think it is. Is it, Tom?
Ligonier has done some conferences with them. I know some people who really trust R.C. Sproul and that he was providing some pushback against some of this stuff. Of course, he's gone to be with the Lord now. I think as a senior member within this camp, he would probably have been distinct from some of this New Wave vision. But they did a lot of conferencing together. That's probably why a lot of people are wondering. But, of course, now, like with any ministry, once it changes hands to the next generation, we'll have to watch closely and see what happens with its vision. Often these ministries don't do well once the founder has gone on to be with the Lord. So it would be worthy of people's attention either way.
Okay. Anything else, Cheyenne?
Yeah, just that we have to take everything to the Scripture, and, you know, RTS is not part of Ligonier. I listen to a lot of Ligonier stuff, and, you know, there's... We just have to be very discerning, and I just wanted that lady's question answered.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, because I forgot about that question, and again, I wouldn't have known the answer, because I don't follow R.C. Sproul or his ministry. I don't agree with some of the things he teaches. Some of the things he does teach I do agree with. Of course, he's passed away now, but I don't agree with his eschatology, and particularly when he says dispensationalism is goofy. As he's on video saying, so that kind of hurts it for me. But because again, I think your eschatology drives your theology. So I appreciate some of the doctrinal things he's taught, but I just have never followed his ministry other than listening to a few sermons. So I couldn't answer it. I'm glad you reminded me because I forgot about the question. I'm glad Tom could answer it. All right, Tom, thanks for being with us, my friend.
Sure thing. Good to be with you.
All right, folks. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, a brand new topic. Thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
We have two fall conferences coming up for Situation Room members. The first one is Friday night, November 2nd, Saturday, November 3rd, with former CIA Operations Officer Claire Lopez, also former CIA Operations Officer Dr. Peter Pry, who's also an expert on nuclear weapons, nuclear warfare, as well as EMP, as Chief of Staff of the Congressional EMP Commission. We'll also have with us former Department of Homeland Security Officer Phil Haney, who wrote the book See Something, Say Nothing, who's been a guest on Sean Hannity's program 14 times. We'll also have former Muslim, now Christian pastor, Sharam Hadian. 100% new material, and you'll be able to ask questions of them in real time via text, as they're all on our new TV set at one time. Full details on this conference can be found at wvwtv.com/security. That's wvwtv.com/security. The next conference is Friday night, November 16th, Saturday, November 17th. It's our International Understanding the Times Bible Prophecy Conference. Again, live streamed for Situation Room members. And the full details on that can be found at wvwtv.com/prophecy. wvwtv.com/prophecy. Those speakers will include Dr. David Hawking, Dr. Ed Heinzen, Dr. Tommy Ice, and Dr. Arnold Frutenbaum. Full details at wvwtv.com/prophecy. Two conferences coming in November that you can live stream and send in your questions in real time via text. Again, wvwtv.com/security and wvwtv.com/prophecy for more details. If you're not a Situation Room member, you can join at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. Join at the one-year rate, monthly rate, two-year rate, or save a lot of money and join at the three-year rate. Full details at situationroom.net, situationroom.net, where membership has its privileges.